Well, we're going to continue discussing results from the Furneaux long-term soil productivity site, and we're going to switch gears from biomass to more nutrition status in stemwood on these plots. And I would just like to acknowledge my committee members, Kate and Mary Beth. So I know we've kind of gone over this before in this session, but I guess some of the good news with acidic deposition is that sulfur emissions have been reduced according to NADP data. However, there's still that heightened rate of nitrogen deposition that continues. And there's known adverse effects from acidic deposition, which include increased nitrate leaching and, of course, increased cation leaching, and overall potential changes in forest productivity, which Kate just talked about. So I wanted to throw in this slide to show that the Furneaux experimental forest is, of course, experiencing high rates of N deposition compared to the rest of the country. Therefore, it does serve as a great experimental site location. And this map is just showing the rate of inorganic nitrogen wet deposition from nitrate and ammonium in 2007. So the objective of this study was to look at above ground wood nutrient concentrations and content between the control treatment, the ammonium sulfate amended treatment, and the ammonium sulfate plus dolomitic lime treatment in a young agrading hardwood forest. So the study site, as you guys have heard about, is at the long-term soil productivity site at the Furneaux Experimental Forest. And I took wood samples in 2008. And the site was initiated in 1996 with a complete randomized block design with the control treatment that was unharvested and untreated. There was a harvested and untreated site, which I'll refer to as the whole tree treatment, harvested and nitrogen and sulfur additions, and I'll refer to that as the whole tree plus NS site, and then the harvested plus nitrate, ammonium nitrate plus sulfur and dolomitic lime additions. So the wood tissue sampling was destructive in the buffer zones for each of the sites, plots within the blocks. And then we were able to take two trees of the five most dominant species as in addition to northern red oak in these plots. And these species were pin cherry, black cherry, red maple, sweet birch, and yellow poplar. So wooden discs were retrieved from these that were cut, and the bolewood and bark were cut by bandsaw in order to be put into the Wiley mill to grind up for nutrient analysis. And I have some pictures of the field work, which is always fun. in the dense stand like that, it was kind of hard to pull out the trees that were, you know, stuck up in the canopy. But I guess most of the hard work was done by the Furneaux logging crew who went out there and actually cut the trees down for us. So after we got these wood samples, they were obviously ground and sent for nutrient analysis. And then these samples were combined by tree species and treatment. And we analyzed the wood for sulfur, phosphorus, potassium, magnesium, calcium, manganese, and zinc. And then nitrogen was also determined. And then in order to calculate the content, I used the total above ground wood biomass estimates and applied and multiplied them by the nutrient concentrations for these elements. And statistical analyses, I used ANOVA comparisons in SAS between to compare treatment differences and tree species differences for all these nutrients, and I tested the main effects of treatment, block, and species, as well as the interaction of treatment and species. So, what were the results? unfortunately, there were no significant differences in any of the nutrients displayed here between the treatments in all of the tree species. However, there was a slight increase in the whole tree treatment for potassium and calcium. So that was the main thing that stood out here for the treatment, for the wood nutrient concentrations. And then I also looked at calcium to manganese ratios in the tree species as Diwali et al. At the Furneaux have done this this type of analysis, and they suggest that these ratios in bollwood may reflect changes in soil chemistry. So I also looked at these ratios, and my results, I concluded that the ratios were lower in the ammonium sulfate treatment compared to the whole tree treatment. So then, this is the phosphorus concentrations. And here I looked at the different treatments compared to the control sites just by the individual tree species. So here, these pink, supposedly, squares are the, let's see, it was the ammonium sulfate plus lime treatment site compared to the control site, and it was just consistently equivalent between these sites. And then for the ammonium sulfate treated site compared to the whole tree treatment, it was the black cherry that showed a greater phosphorus concentration, but then it was northern red oak and yellow poplar that showed perhaps just a lower concentration of phosphorus in the wood tissue. So, and this table displays the nutrient content by all the elements that I analyzed. So I did use the total above ground wood biomass estimates to calculate these nutrient content values, and what was interesting here was that only manganese and zinc showed significant differences between these treatments. And for the manganese, it was the ammonium sulfate treated site that showed a lower concentration of manganese, which was interesting. And then it was the whole tree treatment that showed higher concentrations of zinc. And surprisingly, it's the sweet birch that might be driving this, because there was a higher, relative density of the sweet birch in these stands, and they interestingly show a higher concentration of zinc in the bollwood tissue. So getting back to my question, did treatment affect wood nutrient concentrations? And I did see similarities between the ammonium sulfate treated stand and the ammonium sulfate treated stand plus the dolomitic lime, whereas the whole tree treatment just had slightly greater wood cation concentrations, calcium, potassium, and zinc. So perhaps there is a possibility of cation displacement by the NNS additions. And then calcium relative to manganese also was greater in the whole tree treatment and the liming treatment compared to the ammonium sulfate treatment. And as mentioned before in the earlier talks, this forest is young, and just the competition for resources is not really heightened at this point in time. So obviously, these dynamics of the nutrient concentrations and content will be important to examine in the years to come. And then conclusions. Overall, I feel like yes, that Stemwood has been affected by these additions of ammonium sulfate, but just not extensively at this time, because I did observe differences in wood nutrient concentrations between treatments. I feel like there is a potential for phosphorus and calcium limitations in the ammonium sulfate treated stands for some species, and then it's just seeing the higher concentration of calcium, potassium, and zinc in the whole tree treatment. And then, as Kate talked about, there was no difference in above ground wood biomass, so these differences in concentration in the bolewood do not seem to affect the productivity of these stands at this time, which is good. And just my acknowledgments. And that's it. Reflect possibly what is going on in the soil.
Any large differences in understory species between these three treated areas? Particularly herbaceous.
Well, I know in the early years right after harvest there was a difference in species richness, but I'm not sure if there were differences in actual biomass.
In terms of just relative cover species and a certain prominence toward one or some other species versus others.
Right. Gosh, I know just from being out there at year 10, to me, it seemed like it was the ammonium sulfate treated site that had lower, or it didn't have as much cover, herbaceous cover, to me. But I know that you did some work.
I have the data. I have more. I'll be able to ask that question someday. Hopefully soon.
Okay. One more time?
Oh.
The zinc and sweet birch, that's kind of interesting.
Yes. Reason why?
Yeah, what's that?
I just remember reading in the literature that it may be associated with a defense mechanism for that species, just to give it some advantage over the others. So, but it has been found at other sites too. So it was 10 times greater, the concentration of zinc in sweet birch compared to other species.
Birch is a zinc accumulator, as well as cadmium to some extent, and poplar does tends to have not as much as the birch zinc, which we've had a few studies where we've clearly shown where there's birch abundance, you're going to find more zinc in the soil. So it's an accumulator, no question. So it's interesting.
Could you use it then to remediate soil?
It's not a hyperaccumulator, I don't think. So the rate of growth and the rate of uptake wouldn't qualify it. You're going to be better off with one of the herbaceous covers that would do it, but it has the same kind of class of mechanisms, as I understand.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.